morning. Andy told me this morning that there was a few that had come to the Genesis class and we were full, and that you went to another class. We will make an effort to add more chairs and more tables in there so that we can get everybody that would like to be in the class in there. It's been kind of hard to judge how many we were going to have, but we have had a good number and we're very excited about that. Go ahead and open your Bibles to James chapter 3 this morning. James chapter 3. We're going to begin with verse 2. I think every one of us can understand and can relate to what James has to say. He says, "For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, if we put the bits into the horses' mouths so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison." Do we relate to what he's saying? Verse 9, he goes on to say, "With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men, who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh." You look over to Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 29, Paul tells the church at Ephesus there, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear." Oh, the mouth. How many times can each of us say that our mouths have gotten us into trouble? Mine has often gotten me in trouble. I had a camp counselor one time said that, "Nathan, your brain freezes and your mouth just takes over." And I guess that was a fairly accurate description of me as a teenager. Some might say it was me as an adult. How many times should we have been quiet, but we just had to say something, right? I think of the Lion King when they're sitting there and they're looking at the flock and one of them goes, "I just got to have a wildebeest," right? Sometimes we just got to talk. We just got to speak. We can't help it. We can't stand to be quiet. And then after we do open our mouths, we spend a great deal of time regretting it, don't we? Wishing that we had just kept our lips together. You know, we know the pain. We know the sting of destroyed relationships because of our words. We know the guilt of hurting others needlessly. All done by the tongue. The fire started by the tongue destroys us and others. Destroys us and others emotionally and spiritually. And I think we've all felt the heat from the fires that have come from our mouths. So many unwholesome words proceed from our mouths. What are some examples of common unwholesome words? When we think about what Paul said to the Ephesians, common, you know, unwholesome words, what are some of those? I want us to think about three this morning. One, lies are unwholesome words. Lies are that which we do with our mouths. Christians are to be honest, though, in all their speech. Jesus stated in Matthew chapter 5, verse 37, that our yes should be yes and our no should be no, right? That when I say something, that's what it is. that I don't have to, in context of what he's talking about there, I don't have to swear by anything. I don't have to swear by an oath. My word is enough. You know, the old story goes back to the time when they couldn't find the Bible one time in a courtroom, and they asked a Christian to come up and let him put his hand on him, right? Because he's honest. We need to be people of honesty. That people don't have to worry about when we say something, whether it's true or not. That our character is clear and it is known, and that people will believe us. You know, the reasons for lying are never good. I've yet to find the good reasons for lying. People seem to think they have some good ones, but there are not any. Some people lie because of shame. Sometimes we lie because we're ashamed of who we are. We're ashamed of what we've done. Maybe it's because of some sin in our lives and we just don't want anybody to know, and we're going to have to lie to cover it up. But you know, there's this terrible pattern with that. I feel bad because of the sin. I feel shame. I feel bad because of that. Then I lie to cover that up. And then I feel bad because I'm lying, right? And it just takes us down this path. And we see so many people dealing with depression. And some of these kind of things, some of these emotional issues we deal with are because we're not honest. Not honest with ourselves. Not honest with others. It's hard to keep up with the lies, isn't it? You know, if I just tell the truth, I don't have to keep trying to cover it, do I? I don't have to try to find a way to make sure I don't accidentally spill the beans with the next time I'm talking about it to someone else. You know, sometimes we're ashamed of not necessarily maybe sin, but sometimes we lie and we're ashamed because we're Christians. I don't want people to know I'm one of those. People think those people at the Church of Christ and those Christian people, they're weird. So I'm just not going to let anybody know. I'm going to deceive people. You know, lying is not just saying I'm not a Christian. I'm not talking about that. Sometimes it's just the deception, isn't it? That I deceive people. I'm going to behave in a way, or I'm going to say things that would cause people to think I'm not. And therefore take that and deceive people. Sometimes people lie because of fear. I guess the best example we can see of that is Abraham, right? Abraham lied because of fear. He said, when we go into these places and they're going to want to marry you, Sarah, you tell them. I mean, we have recorded for us what he did with Pharaoh, right? And Abimelech. But we need to understand that when Abraham first said that to Sarah, it was a standing order. It was the standard way that they were going to approach everywhere they went, is that if anybody says anything, Sarah, you just tell them, you're my sister, because they'll kill me for you. And so Abraham lied because of fear. Paul said that he caused Christians to blaspheme, to literally blaspheme the name of Jesus Christ. He's talking about back in the days when he was a persecutor. And see, he would take those Christians and he would do things that would cause them in fear to deny Christ. Paul had a clear understanding when he wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 about why in this present distress during the time of persecution it was not good to be married, because as a persecutor he knew one of the greatest tools for a husband is to use his wife, and vice versa. The fear. Others lie for greed, don't they? Ananias and Sapphira? Yes. This is all we got for that. And they lie. For greed, just the greed of the money, but also the desire for the praise of men. Both of them would do that. Sometimes we see as well in Matthew chapter 5 and other places where Jesus talks about them lying in their oaths. That they would swear on things that had a loophole, right? And if I had the loophole, you know, even with helping your parents, well, Mom, Dad, I'd help you. I would. Really want to. Love you. But I gave it to the Lord. I've sworn that to God, so I can't give it to you. Sorry. And Jesus says, you nullify the law of God by your traditions. You're lying. And it's out of greed. A Christian has no reason in their life to be ashamed. If I'm living the Christian life, shame should not be a part of that life. Righteousness is not something to be ashamed of. Those that would cause shame concerning Christian living are the ones who should really be ashamed. Those that are out there denigrating what the Christian life is, denigrating God, denigrating Christ, those are the ones that should be ashamed. I should not. Certainly not if I'm living for Him. A Christian has no reason to fear. God has always blessed and taken care of His people. Always in the Bible. See, Abraham had no reason to fear. His fear was unfounded. And eventually he would realize that and trust God fully. Greed has no place in a Christian's life. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, according to the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10. And please quote that verse, right? It is not money is the root of all evil. I hear so many people say that money is the root of all evil. No, it's not. The love of money is the root of all evil. All kinds of evil. Christians are not associated with those things that bring evil to life. So the love of money is not something that we're about. The desire for it constantly, he says, has pierced many a through with pain and heartache. So we don't want to be liars. That's unwholesome. Second, foul language is unwholesome words. I've thought about this over the past couple of weeks, about how to address this particular aspect to this lesson effectively. I don't want to say the words in order to make examples, but I do want to make clear that some words are unacceptable, because I found that Christians have begun to think that some are. They certainly are not. So I decided I'd use the letter designations, right? For these words, the only way I could think of to do it that I could live with myself. Now I could think of some common words. There are two B's that I came up with. One is in reference to a female dog, but is rarely ever used in reference to a female dog, right? The other can refer to a fatherless child, but I have never heard it in context to that in general conversation when people have spoken such a word. There's an S that I can think of that I know that you can fill in. It refers to something that is unpleasant and unclean. Sometimes is used in reference to bulls, but rarely is talking about bulls, right? Certainly not something that should be in our mouths. I can think of a D, and it's not holding back water. And when you use God's name with it, it is truly one of the most heinous forms of blasphemy that is ever used by the mouth. I could think of the F word. And we always just put the "the" on that one. Right? It's got a "the." Like that one's any worse than all the rest. Heard far too many times in our society today, and I do not believe that I have to spend much time on this one, hopefully, with this crowd. I hope that never crosses your lips. You know, these are the ones that most consider the big ones. But I want us to consider others as well that are just as wrong. Considered a little more acceptable by some. But in the end, these unwholesome words are just as unwholesome as the others. For example, any word that refers to a private body part is unwholesome. And there are so many that I wouldn't even begin to put letters or anything to them. They are private and should remain so. Calling people such names is not something that edifies others. And it doesn't matter whether the person you say it to is the person you are calling it or someone else that you are talking about to that person. You are not edifying them. You are not doing anything to help them be more spiritual. You're not doing anything to bring them closer to God with such language. You're only driving them away. You're setting an example that a Christian talks with a filthy mouth. And God will not have such. So when we use these things, we need to understand the damage that we not only do to our spiritual lives, but the damage we do to the lives of those that hear us say them and believe it's okay. A very common one that naive people and those not truly given to the life of Christ think is okay is the P word. And it's usually added with the word "off," right? That one somehow has become okay. Well, that's all right. Everybody says it. I think a lot of things a lot of people say that we don't need to say. You know, though, I would give you the mother if he jumped off the bridge, you would. But no one ever listens to that one. The word again refers to something unclean. The word never edifies; it only tears down. The one who said it and the people it is said in front of. If you tell others that you are PO'd, then you exhibit an attitude. At that moment, you are showing an attitude and you are describing an attitude in your life that is in contradiction to the Christian life. You're mad. You're mad at the point of being out of control mad, and you're mad because somebody did something, and you're that because of it. That is not Christian on any day of the week. Because they beat and nailed my Lord to a cross, and He didn't say that from the cross. And He didn't show uncontrolled anger. And if you want to be a child of God, if you want to be a Christian, then you want to be like Him. He would not say such things. I doubt if Jesus Christ was standing in front of you, you would tell Him how PO'd you are. Why? Because you know in your heart of hearts it's not something that should come out of your mouth. The word is unwholesome and sinful, and the action described is sinful. No Christian should say this. No Christian should be this in their lives. One that Jesus specifically referred to was the phrase as well, "Go to hell." I've actually heard Christians say that to other Christians. Can you believe that? To have the mind of Christ is to never want anyone to go to hell. Because Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost, that which was going to hell. That's His whole purpose. And that should be our purpose if our purpose is His. If we are transformed. Because see, otherwise we're just being conformed to the world according to Romans 12. Such a statement takes a person as far from Christ as any alien sinner. Jesus stated in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20 that to say "you fool" to someone would send a person into fiery hell. You know what that means? That phrase there means, it's not the fool that we think of today, but in their society, that phrase meant if you say you will surely go to hell, then you yourself are on your way there. That's what Jesus Christ said. Remember what James says. You curse men with your mouth that are made in the image of God. And it should not be so. You cannot have trash coming out of your mouth and holiness too. He said you can't have fresh and salt water. You can't have good and bad coming out at the same time. Only one is going to come out. Which one are you going to have? We need to take careful ease with this. You know, there are other words. It seems like new ones are invented every day. Moms, dads, have y'all noticed that? There's new words invented every day for all kinds of terrible things. I guess it's almost like a way to come up with some new stuff so we don't get condemned for the old stuff, but it's still the same stuff. New ones invented every day to refer to private and unseemly parts and actions. Words that are derogatory and destructive to others. Christians will not have them in their vocabulary, though, if they wish to be faithful to Christ. These are words of the world, not righteous people shining the light of a righteous God to the world. You know, the way that we bring people to Christ is through words. Through the teaching with words. That's God's medium to bring man to Him. And those words will never bring a person any closer to Christ. In fact, those words will take the person saying them further and the people that are hearing further from Christ. There are other unwholesome words that time will not allow us to discuss today. There are things such as boasting, things such as false teaching, and angry words that are all unwholesome. But my last point this morning is that God, using God's name in vain is unwholesome. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7, God says, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain." Any flippant, unworthy, irreverent, or profane use of God's name is to use His name in vain. Folks, if you say God, you better be talking to Him. Saying Jesus Christ is some kind of exclamation when you're not talking to Jesus Christ is wrong. And I hear people say that. You don't throw God's name out, Jesus' name out there just for the fun of it. He is the creator of all things. He is the creator of the universe, the all-powerful being, someone that makes you nothing, and you do not go around disrespecting Him and expect Him to be okay with it. My children won't do that, won't disrespect me. I can guarantee you God will not allow me to disrespect Him. When we use His name just for whatever, has nothing to do with coming to Him in reverence, it is in vain. And He says, I will punish the person that does such. Young people, OMG means, oh my God. And when you put it in a text, you are using God's name in vain. It's just shorthand for it. You're saying it in shorthand. It should never go across your keyboard or your keypad or your screen. And that's adults too. I'm sure some adults may have put that on theirs. But it means what it means. And we need to understand that it is simply using God's name in vain. The GD profanity that Hollywood seems to think has to be in every single show that they put out is a heinous form of blasphemy. And should not ever, ever even cross our minds, much less our lips. One other thing. Replacing a profanity with some other word does not purify the word that we're trying to just replace it with. You know, if I know, well, I can't say that word, so I'll say something close to it, but I won't actually say it. But that's my whole purpose, that's my whole meaning, my whole desire is to actually intonate the same word, just with maybe saying it a little different. You're still saying the same thing in your heart. God sees the heart. You are meaning the profane word. God knows you're meaning the profane word. For example, if you go, I'm PO'd, you're still saying the other. And we need to understand that. That's what you mean. That's what you're saying. It's like the OMGs. You know, the point is this morning that we must control our words if we are to be godly. Christianity is spread by words, and may ours be wholesome words of truth. May they be words of purity. May they be words that build up. May they be words that are not trash or referring to things that are unclean or private, but things that should be spoken openly, things of truth and righteousness. May they not be lies. May they not be cursing. May they not be boasting. May they not be deception. But the simple truth of God. Our lives must be lives of honesty, purity, and truth. And they can't be that if our mouths are trashy. If our mouths are deceptive. If our mouths just use God's name any old way we want to use it with no respect and no reverence toward Him. Can't be what God wants us to be. Put the fire out in your life if you've let it burn. If it's been burning up till now, it's been burning too long. You need to get it put out. You need to get it under control. James said, these things should not be. I know it's hard. I have a tongue too. I have a mouth too. And like I told you, I've had a history of having a problem with it. I've had a history of speaking when I should be quiet. But I got to work on that. And you have to work on yours. Whatever your issues may be with your tongue. And they're probably always going to be there, but you got to work every day. There is a diligence to Christianity. A diligence to constantly combat those things that would take us away from Christ. May we do that with our tongues. May we learn to shut our mouths. You know, I think one of the proudest moments may be someday when somebody says something really mean to you and you're actually able to keep your mouth shut. I think you'll be very proud of yourself. Wouldn't it be better to be proud of yourself than to walk away feeling guilty because of what you said in a moment where you chose not to control that which James calls a fire that can burn a forest down? This morning, if you're a person who has not controlled your tongue, make the decision today to control it from this day forward. To give all of your effort to putting that thing in subjection to your control. And your control is ultimately under Christ's control if you're a child of God. That you want to speak the things Christ would speak. You want your mouth to say the things Christ would say. You want your mouth to be quiet when Christ would have been quiet. And you'll be happy you did. If you haven't been doing that, repent of it. Confess your sins to God. Know that He's faithful and just to forgive you if you do that. If you're not a child of God this morning, you have the opportunity to come to a God that is righteous and good. So much stuff out there in the world, so much filth out there in the world. There is one place for holiness and righteousness and goodness and truth and honesty. And it's Jesus Christ. I don't know about you. I get a little disgusted when I watch the news sometimes. I get a little disgusted when I see TV shows. I get a little disgusted when I watch commercials. Some commercials are worse than TV shows, aren't they? I just need to go somewhere where all that stuff's not there. To someone that isn't going to call me a bad name. Or to project some kind of ugly image with their speech. Jesus Christ. If you want a place to go that's away from the ugly and the bad of this world, come to Christ. He can save you. Believe in Him, repent of your sins, confess Him as the Son of God, be buried in baptism, rise to walk as He would walk, a person of purity and honesty, truthfulness, a person who speaks wholesome words and not just the stuff we hear going on all the time in our society, but things that mean something. Things that change things. Things that lead to eternity. If we can assist you in any way this morning, we hope and pray that you will let us. Won't you come as we stand and as we sing?